Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Carol Connection. I want to take a minute to thank everybody who has listened to the podcast and showed consistent love to me, and I really want to take a moment to kind of thank people like Neil Fisher, Jeff LePage, Steve Mort, Ron Sudo, Caitlin Abrams, Caroline Hindle, a lot of you guys, Nick Foisey, Dave Bienkowitz, Alec Mendes, a lot of you guys came up to me during Thanksgiving break and we were all out in one of the bars locally and said you listened to the podcast and showed me a lot of love, and I do appreciate that, and it doesn't go unnoticed, so there is your shout out too. I want to bring you guys a really good episode today, and I'm going to be talking with Carrie Peterson Weaver. She is a licensed mental health counselor and a registered dance movement therapist. She's also my cousin, and she works at Create Balance Counseling and Wellness located in Cranston, Rhode Island. So let's bring her right in. How are you doing, Carrie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So there's a lot we could really talk about on this episode, but I want to kind of talk about your mom, my aunt, mm-hmm. Kathy Peterson, and kind of want to just go in and kind of tell a story about your mom and how that kind of influenced your life.
Okay. So my mom, Kathy, in 1982, it was actually Mother's Day, May 9th, 1982. My mother was in an accident where she was hit by a drunk driver, which left her as a quadriplegic. She was paralyzed from the neck down. I remember the day like it was yesterday. I remember sleeping at my friend's grandmother's house, and I had a nightmare that night that my mother was in a car accident, and the next day I woke up, and everyone showed up at the grandmother's house, and I was like, why is everyone here, and why are my aunts picking me up? Like, this doesn't seem right. My mom was supposed to come. And then I went to my grandmother's house, and everyone was there, and they sat us down and explained that my mother was in a severe accident and that she was in the hospital. But she was okay. She'll be okay. So that was the start of that.
I also want to kind of talk about, too, after the fact, too, after she was hit by the drunk driver, what was kind of like the aftermath, I guess you could kind of say? Mm-hmm. Like, what were the ramifications of that? What happened to the actual driver,
okay, too? So, actually, my mom was in the accident with her boyfriend at the time. So her boyfriend and my mom and her boyfriend were going to like breakfast after going out at night, and they were standing outside of her car, and this car came down Reservoir Ave here in Cranston and hit them both, and they both went flying probably the length of a football field, and the driver continued to drive home. And later on, they found the driver, and unfortunately, she wasn't arrested for drunk driving because at the time in 1982, the laws aren't as they are today. My mother's boyfriend did end up dying in the hospital. I don't know if it was a day after or a couple of days after, but within that short time frame from the accident. The driver, from my understanding, I was only 6 years old, so from what I recall, she ended up with 18 months work release.
I think it's tough for me, too, because growing up, I was obviously born after the fact. I was mm-hmm. born in 1995, and mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to really have the relationship with mm-hmm. Kathy like most people probably in the family do, like especially my mom, mm-hmm. our aunts, and it was tough for me as a kid trying to have a relationship with her because she also seemed like, she always seemed definitely positive too when I was around her, but there's definitely moments you could see she was frustrated, the fact that she was in the wheelchair, and there was always complications with that, and we always had to be mindful of where we were because we always had to make sure that we had to bring in the wheelchair and be mindful about all that. So from my perspective, it was definitely hard for me to have the relationship because I was also young and I just didn't understand, and mm-hmm. I think that goes in a lot with children growing up today too, is they don't understand. A lot of the parents aren't really educating their children on people who may be disabled or paralyzed or anything of that nature. People aren't talking about that because they don't want to expose their children to that. Mm-hmm. Instead, now their children are seeing people like that, and they're questioning it, and they're making comments they probably shouldn't be making, but they're children, and they get a pass. But it's more of a reflection on the parent side, too, of educating your children. And then people are afraid to talk to their kids about this stuff because they don't think they're going to comprehend it. But you're not giving kids enough credit with being able to understand things. Like you said, you were 6 years old when this happened, and you were able to comprehend probably a decent amount of it, too. Like, it's pretty remarkable, too, being that young and having to go through such an experience. Like, how did that affect you going into, like, your middle school and high school years?
Well, it affected me a lot more than people really wanted to take time and listen to. And I look back now as being a therapist, and I work with teens and young adults, I look back at some of my behaviors, maybe at home, or, you know, I realize now that it was anxiety and maybe some depression. And people misunderstood that. Not so much when I was at school, but it was more so at home where I had that frustration, which, let me go back a little bit. I didn't live with my mother. In the beginning, we were kind of bounced around between being with my grandparents, being with my dad, which my parents were divorced. And then my dad remarried, and we lived there. And then we moved, when I was a teenager, to my grandparents' house. So, you know, it was a tough thing. I think growing up with my grandparents also was difficult because the age gap, the generation gap, and also wanting to be with my mother, and that was a hard thing. And just that, you know, being a teenage girl and needing your mom to be there to answer the questions you need answered, or even just that unconditional love of having your mom to hold you when you're sick. So those are some of the things I look back on and I did miss out on. And however, in all of it, that was difficult. There was a lot of struggles throughout my life. I think it led me to be where I am today, where my path wasn't always straight and narrow. I'm like anyone else. Like, I made my mistakes. I tried things. They either worked or they didn't work. So I started off, I was a dancer, and that's where, that was like my outlet. So dance was always my outlet. It was a place where I felt comfortable. It felt like I could express myself. So I think that helps me lead me into where I am today to get into dance movement therapy, doing the counseling.
What does that entail, like the dance movement therapist? Like, what does that entail?
For me, when I use it, I use, movement-based.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, too, with just the dance, I think a lot of people could get therapy from dancing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are scared to dance. Like, that was like, that's something I like to do. Whether sometimes you gotta have, some people like to have a little drink in them or whatever it mm-hmm. be, but I think people could express themselves more positively if they were just open to trying something. Like, people can learn how to dance. People mm-hmm. be like, oh, I don't know how to dance. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to dance. You can learn. Like, you can, like, with anything, mm-hmm. you can learn. And just look at a lot of, like, our ancestors, a lot of the things that they used to do were including dancing mm-hmm. and celebrations. And mm-hmm. I think that definitely can go back to the concept of this podcast, talking about mental health and what can help people overcome mm-hmm. what they're dealing with. And I think a lot of people could get benefits from, careful with just like touching that. Yeah. Picks up on the microphone, whether you hear it or not. But I think a lot of people can get benefits from like the dance therapy and stuff. And
mm-hmm. well, I think when I, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
But typically, I like to say movement therapy because, like you said, you know, it's a good point. Some people are afraid of the word dance. And I like using movement therapy more so think about when words aren't enough. It's a good way for someone who can't express themselves when they can use their bodies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be as simple as, you know, they're being seen. So they're in front of me, I'm seeing them, whether I'm mirroring their motions or they're mirroring mine. A good example of the dance movement therapy, I've done work in several local hospitals and psych hospitals. And you know, bringing a community together. So think about people who are depressed or having anxiety and they're isolating and they're in the hospitals and they're sitting around, you know, for good portions of the day and feeling alone. And then you bring them into a group and you start putting the music on. And then maybe the person's like, oh, I can't move or I don't want to move. And then they start moving. And then at the end, you see everyone work together. And oftentimes I hear, like, it was great, it felt good to be in a community, and we're all here on the same, you know, going through the same things, and you just, sometimes you don't realize that you're going through those same things because you're so hyper-focused on yourself and being isolated, where this opened it up, and now I feel like I can relate to others within the community they're in at that time.
Yeah, I think definitely that's going to help a lot of people, because people are kind of unaware of the idea of trying to take their mind off things too, with, like, if you're practicing this, talking about dance now, like, you're dancing, you're worried about the dance moves instead of worrying about what's actually going on. You're focused on trying to learn the moves, and people probably self-analyze themselves a lot. I know I do it a lot, where, like, oh, do I look stupid doing this? Like, I don't want to embarrass myself, and people got to let go of that. Like, you can't be worried about what other people are going to think about you. You got to be more positive about yourself and being willing to do something new. Whether you know it or not, trying something new is only going to help you, one, get better, and two, grow. Mm-hmm. Trying new things is, like, essential to being, like, the best possible version of yourself. And I think a lot of people today are afraid to be themselves, and they do things that their parents push onto them and things of that. So that kind of goes into my next question, too. Did you always know, like, coming out of high school, that dance, being like a mental health counselor and like a dance therapist, did you realize that was like going to be like your career path?
No, that wasn't going to be my career path. I actually went into teaching dance and then went back to school for my degree in dance. I owned a dance studio for many years. Well, I would say eight years I owned a dance studio, but within that time, I felt like something was missing. And then that's when I decided in my 30s to go back for my master's, and that's when I decided to go back for dance movement therapy and mental health counseling. The ironic thing is, back in 1993, the year I graduated high school, my teacher, my guidance counselor, she's like, you know what, you might be interested in this new thing called dance therapy. And it was always kind of in the back of my head, but I never really went forward with it. And then I started learning more about it. And funny thing is, it wasn't new. It's been around for 50 plus years.
It's like the same thing when people talk about medicine and they refer to other things as alternative medicine. Like, why do we call it alternative medicine when that's the stuff that's been around for years, and this new medicine's only been around for, like, 100, 200 years, if that? Like,
yes.
It's the same idea.
It's so true. And it's like, you know, any of the expressive arts at this time. So I know I'm bouncing around here, going back. So I decided, let me try this. Let me try to get into graduate school. And I did. I got into Lesley University. I would commute there. And at the time, I don't know how I got through college, but I did. I think, and this I'm going to go back towards, my mother was such an inspiration to me, whether she realized it or not. And I think that instilled for me to have the strength to do what I did, even when things were difficult. So at the time, I owned a dance studio in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. I went to school in Cambridge, Mass. My mother was living in Worcester, Mass. And within this time of when I started my graduate program, my mother had a gentleman taking care of her, and he kind of just, he began drinking and wasn't really taking care of my mother properly. Long story short, she ended up in a nursing home. He ended up dying, and I had to move my mother back to Rhode Island. But in the meantime, I was commuting from North Kingstown to Cambridge to North Kingstown, maybe to Worcester to Cambridge, and, you know, finally moved my mom back to Rhode Island. I did sell my studio, and I had, you know, a lot of difficulty through that time. I you know, and I'm okay to say it, I went through depression, and I may have hid it in some ways. Maybe some people could see it, but it was like, I think of it like a functioning alcoholic. You know, I still got up, I still did the things I needed to do, but I was severely depressed. You know, people think grief is just when you lose somebody, but my dance studio was like my family, my home for a long time, and getting rid of that was a piece of me I felt like I got rid of. But then I started doing the movement therapy, and you know, I started working in psych hospitals, and I was able to share that part of me again with others, but in a very different way. And so, ironically, sometimes working in this field too, like, kind of, I don't know how to say it, not that you work with people for you to feel better, but
it makes you feel better to help other people regardless. Like, yeah. That's something why I want to do this podcast is mm-hmm. I want people to hear conversation like we're having. Like, I think people could get a lot from your story and who you mm-hmm. are as a person. And it's only right to put you out on a platform where people can listen to you. I think a lot of people, my friends, my family, and people who I don't even know who might be listening to this mm-hmm. can hear this story and be like, damn, like, I need to do more of my life. Mm-hmm. I want to impact people in a better way instead of just doing the same bullshit 9-to-5 that everybody does. Like, it's just, you can do the 9-to-5, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. And life is situational where you have to support whoever you have to support, mm-hmm. whether it's children or a spouse or whatever. But that is literally not an excuse not to chase your dreams and your passions. And your passion should be somewhat aligned with trying to help people and make this place better. And this place, I mean this world. Like, there's too many people trying to be self-centered and caring about themselves and caring about their money. Like, it's not all about the goddamn money. Like, the money doesn't make you happy. Like, it doesn't. You could buy all the stuff and buy the temporary happiness and do all that stuff. But at the end of the day, that money doesn't go in the coffin with you.
Mm-mm,
it doesn't.
I agree.
Like, I think a lot of people, too, and I refer this, we talked about this in my second podcast with my grandfather, was the fact that he regretted not doing things he was more passionate about and waiting through life. And that's, I was at a point in my life where I was looking at that, I was like, he's so right. Like, I don't want to go through life and, yeah, I have a better platform and a better position in life than a lot of people, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm definitely very privileged to have the position that I have and have the parents that I had to raise me the way they did. But I don't want to be like the same as everybody else and mm-hmm. just follow the same mold that everyone follows. You have to go to school, you have to get a degree, you have to work 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm okay doing that, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. But something like this podcast is something I'm really passionate about, and talking to people and building the connection, because I don't think we've ever had a conversation like this. And it opens up a whole new gate of just feelings towards you and emotions. And it's like, now we have a better relationship, just even based off the conversation we had prior to the recording. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff that we talk about. I don't know if I put it on a podcast, but I think it's nice to have those personal conversations that mm-hmm. not everyone deserves to hear or should hear, but it builds our close relationship, especially with us being related and mm-hmm. family. It's nice to have those conversations. So going back towards what we were just talking about, the dance therapy and your mother, as you were growing up, did you notice her opinion or perspective on life change after the accident? And like, did it ever get to the point where she was more positive, or did she always kind of sulk in the fact that it happened to her and she had to deal with it?
In the beginning, for several years, my mom was only 28 years old, so she was very young. And, you know, her whole life changed. She couldn't do anything. She couldn't go to the bathroom. She couldn't cook. She couldn't, you know, clean herself. So, I mean, that was a struggle. And I know my mother, believe it or not, she started drinking. But people had to give it to her. So, you know, that's, you look at it too and you're like, well, what are you all thinking? But they were taking care of her, and that's what their boss, quote-unquote, wanted. So, but I think through the years, she got better with her, you know, not sulking in it. She was more positive near the end. She may not have realized it either, but I would say in her last 6 months of her life, which was probably some of the best times I had with her. Mm-hmm. And I think because she really was much more positive and maybe it's because it was near the end of her life, and who knows, people tend
to realize different things.
Yes,
too,
you know, you start changing. But for me, through the bad, the good, the ugly, the stuff that I had to do, we all had to do, you know, at the end of the day, I try to look at it like, what she went through was much worse than what we were going through. So maybe as a kid, I was complaining like, oh, my God, I got to wash my mother. Are you kidding me? I'm 8 years old. Like, in my mind, I think back to how I felt then. But now as an adult, I'm like, well, my mother had to have her kid wash her.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? You kind of flip that perspective and, you know.
That comes with time, too, and just aging and growing up. So.
And I think throughout my life, I can't say I was always positive, and still you struggle with that. I mean, we all fall into that, but I try to be much more positive. I try to live a healthier, simpler life. I try not to be as negative as maybe I once was or I grew up in. I've learned life is short, and I value more so enjoying myself and my family and my friends and not having. I used to think I needed to have all these materialistic things, and I've learned I rather have experiences and, you know, friendships and relationships, and then
it's way more important. I was actually watching a documentary on Netflix the other day. It was talking about minimalism.
Oh, I watched that one.
And it was pretty interesting to see that. I don't think I'd go that extreme. And they talked about it, too. You don't have to be that extreme about it. That's just the way they chose to live their lives. And one of them had a girlfriend where she's like, she has a ton of shoes and all this stuff. And she wouldn't give that up. But, like, I think a lot of people should check that out. I think it's from, like, 2016 or something like that. Yeah. So it's a little. I know it's only a couple of years, but it's a little bit dated on that. But I think it does a very good job of talking about we don't need all the shit that we have. Mm-mm. And the hardest, and it's a process, just like with anything, whether you're changing your diet, you're working out, you're going for a new job, you're changing your personality, whatever you're trying to do, it's a process to it. And you have to go through the process. And I think a lot of people try to skip the process. And a lot of things that they do, they try to take the shortcuts, and going through that difficult process. It's the key. Like, it sucks a lot of the time for a lot of people, but then you gotta look at it in this way. Everything you've made it through in your life to this point, whether bad or worse, whatever it is, you made it through it. Like, so when you encounter something difficult, what's the difference of everything else you already dealt through? You're gonna make it through. And, like, it's the mindset of powering through that and dealing through that. And I think that was something that was really inspiring, too, to talk to with my grandfather about. And I thought it was an awesome podcast to have because, like, who knows how long his time is on this earth. And everything's limited regardless. No matter how old you are, your time's limited. You don't know when you could wake up, like, when things could change. Like, yesterday was the birthday of one of my friends, Haley, and she had passed away a few years ago. And it always just makes me reflect how delicate life is. And it's like, I miss her a lot, and she was a very close friend to me, and we had a lot of good conversations and good times and good memories together. And it just sucks dealing with that, especially with someone who's so young, and it's unfair. But the thing is, life is unfair. It's not fair. Life makes no judgments. It is what it is, and you just kind of have to learn to deal with it and make the best of it. And that's where people tend to struggle, is making the best out of situations that are difficult. Because they can't learn the lesson from it sometimes.
No, and that's the thing. Acceptance. We can't change what's happened. And this is something like I still try to work through myself, but even with my clients, we can't change what happened in the past. If we continue to live in the past, we're not going to move forward, which at a point in my life, I did live in the past. And there's that old saying of you live in the past, it causes depression, you think of the future, it causes anxiety, that's why we gotta live in the present. We can't change it, but we can accept it. We have to come to an acceptance of something that has happened in the past. And I love when you brought up process. Something I always say, trust the process. Because everything is a process. I mean, if you look at some of my quotes on the wall, like, a journey of 1,000 miles takes a single step. Well, you have to take each of those steps, whether it's your path is straight, whether your path is crooked, whether your path is over a hill, whatever it is, trust that process and come to an acceptance of what you've endured along the way.
I think that's huge. Like, a lot of people are afraid of the process, too. And it's frustrating looking at it now, Because people try to tell me a lot of, I guess, like my grandpa, and so like, you're wise and all this stuff. I'm like, I'm just understanding. I have a lot of people in my life who go through a lot of things, and I've been exposed to a lot of things, whether it's death, mental illness, disabilities. Like, I've been exposed to a lot for someone so young, and going through the experiences where I was fortunate enough to have a role with the company to go explore different states, and that really opened my eyes up and put things in perspective where it sucked being alone. Like, whether it's easier now with technology to have the FaceTime, the phone calls, and all that. So like, I've used, like, I always like to credit Fortnite with increasing and strengthening my relationship with my brothers, because obviously one of my older brothers who lives in Spain is in the military, and then my other brother was obviously back home in Massachusetts. So, like, I'm in Texas, and they're in different states and different country, but Fortnite could bring us all together, and it was a way of communicating. And I would literally, I wouldn't go out, I wouldn't, because I had at this point I had really stopped drinking, so I literally on weekends would not do anything. I would play video games all weekend. But people might say, oh, you're wasting your time. But I was spending time with my brothers. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole purpose. I might not be the best at the video games. I might not love the video games the most. But I love my brothers. And I love the relationship that it was I was able to build through video games. And my older brother talked about it a lot. Because with one of my younger brothers, he didn't really vocalize himself a lot all the time. And it was tough to always have conversations, I guess, sometimes with him. But through the video games, like, they became, like, best friends. And, like, they talked all the time. They text all the time. They snap. And it's interesting to see the impact of something like that. Mm-hmm. But going back into where I was and having been, like, the whole wise thing was, I experienced a lot. And you have to learn through your experiences. And if you don't, you're going to keep experiencing those same things until you learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. Like, life has a funny way of working where it's going to keep presenting you things to test you. And you have to understand what's going on and being able to interpret that and understand, I've done this before. I've dealt with this. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to let myself get angry over this. And control who you are as a person, control yourself. And that's going to segue into what I want to talk about next, was how I came to your class and tried yoga. So you've been teaching yoga. How did you kind of get into yoga? Just going from, like, mental health. Obviously, I can see where the mental health and dance therapy flow into yoga, but kind of just touch upon that and how you got into yoga.
Well, I started taking yoga just more for myself to find my breath and really find myself, ground myself, because having anxiety and always on the go and not stopping and not thinking, like, one day I just realized I wasn't breathing. And yes, I know that sounds that sounds ridiculous, but we take for granted that we're breathing, but we're not breathing properly, and it was interfering with my life. So yoga was a good way for me to have that time to really get comfortable within myself. So I decided I would go into the yoga therapy training with Ellen Schaefer, who is phenomenal, and I will shout out there, One Yoga Studio. She is amazing. And it was a good time for me to really learn about myself more, even though I went through a lot in my training as a mental health counselor. This really was more for myself, and I learned so much of how to try to be less judgmental within myself and have more self-love and self-acceptance. We sometimes assume we have those things.
People pretend like they love themselves.
Yeah, that's more like it. Like, you pretend that you're in a good place. But it was, you know, there was a lot of times I'd pick myself apart. And, you know, here I am going to be a therapist. And, you know, I'm teaching people or, you know, help guiding people to live better lives. And here I am saying, oh, well, this isn't right. And
practicing what you're teaching.
Yes. So it really helped me to have more self-love, acceptance, and being more mindful. And sometimes we take for granted, and we still, I mean, I'm not perfect, and I don't think anyone is, where life gets in your way and you're not always mindful with what you're doing. And it's like, okay, when I'm not practicing regularly, I can see the change in myself where I'm in my head and I get caught up in things, and I'm just like, feel like, I don't know, think of being above the ground and you're just floating. But when I practice regularly, I feel a lot more grounded, stronger within myself, mindful of maybe my words, mindful of how am I taking care of others or myself, mindful in my marriage, you know, my husband is phenomenal. He puts up with me. So we got to give him a lot of kudos there, you know. I can say I'm not always the easiest. But I had to learn to be mindful of not taking advantage of him. Mm-hmm. And in my training, and he probably doesn't even know this, now he may. But within my training and really having to process things and doing writing and reading and really soul searching and becoming one with, you know, whatever that higher being is, I realized how much I took advantage of him. Like, he's just there and he's going to do these things. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn, okay, you know what? That's not the way life is. You're not treating someone with the love that you want for yourself. You're not treating them with that.
It's a little selfish, yeah. And I think a lot of people are like that, too.
Yeah, it is selfish.
They receive what they believe they should receive, but they don't give that same energy back. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of... I'm really big on energy. So, like, what mm-hmm. you put out into the world is what you're going to get back.
Oh, 100%.
And especially when people say, I think it frustrates me, too, when people talk about they don't have time to do things. I think that is the most biggest piece of bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I so agree with that. I can't believe how much we're on the same path here. Like, this is great that we're talking.
Yeah, and that was the whole point, too. It was like, I knew you were definitely a little nervous about doing the podcast at first. Yeah. And because you were dodging me a little bit, and I understand things do come up, and that's why I'm flexible, and I've had certain people already start dodging me and stuff. They say they want to do it, and then they kind of backtrack, so that's why I just released the podcast. The truth was real. Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I think, because that's why I ended up just posting it, because I was talking to my old boss, and he was just like, you should just post it. What's the point of holding on to it? Because I want to diversify the guests that we're having on here, too. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, I'm like, I just got to put it out there. Like, mm-hmm. I'm never going to be perfect at what I'm doing. And this podcast is probably never going to be perfect because I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And there's no point. You should strive for perfection, but understand that you're never going to be perfect because nobody's perfect.
Nobody is.
And it's just the whole point of the podcast. Broken crayon, still color.
Yeah.
That's the motherfucking truth. I'll tell you that for free.
Yep. I had a client the other day. I just put that up and she goes, in the middle of session, she's talking to me and she stops. That is true. I really like that a lot. Broken crayon, still color. So nobody is perfect.
I think a lot of people need that too.
But you can still do things. I am going to go off topic a little bit because someone I didn't bring up and is very important to me, and I'll try not to get all sappy. But my sister. And my sister Kelly, who now lives in North Carolina, she went through this with me, and I think her struggle was a little different than mine, and I wish she and I had...
Just careful of that.
I wish she and I had more conversations through our lives about the struggle, and I feel like her struggle might have been more of having to take care of me, mm-hmm. And I could see that struggle growing up of, you know, we always kind of had, like, we loved each other, but we always kind of, like, fought with each other and,
sibling,
you know.
Sibling stuff.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, she could be really mean, and I'd be really mean and nasty. And, yeah, it's just sibling stuff, but I think there was so much more there.
There's a lot of other stuff dealing with your mother and things of that nature, too.
Yeah, and as we've grown older, and especially so after my mom passed, I think my sister really realized, like, wow, what, you know, I was taking on, and, you know, we came to such a better place, and we are in such a better place, but I always took for granted what she probably was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to say here.
For sure. Because
even, you know, you brought up your siblings and stuff, and we just take for granted, like, these are our siblings, and this is the way it is. And you don't realize sometimes they're going through a different thing, depending on where you are in that category.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's important for me to put that out there, you know, that if you do have siblings and you're going through things, like, kind of like, hey, what's going on, you know?
Talking to them. Like, that's the whole point of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Talk to people.
Yes.
Like, people, and that was part of the post that I made on my Facebook a while ago, where people mm-hmm. are so goddamn glued to their phone, and, like, they post on your Facebook wall, like, happy birthday or something mm-hmm. like that, and or, mm-hmm. like, hope you're doing well and things of that, instead of just actually, like, for me, it was tough because I'm living in different states, mm-hmm. but text me, call me, like, mm-hmm. actually reach out to have the conversations. And a few people did after the post, and I told them not to. I said it specifically in the post. Until you understand that social media is a tool for communication, not the only avenue for communication, don't talk to me. Like, you need to understand, especially now. And it's ironic, a lot of the cases, too. It's usually, I don't want to throw stones at older generation, but it's usually the older generation who hate the technology, but other ones who use it in the fact where they don't talk to you like that. And then they blame the communication for people being so in their phones and things. Well, I'm like, do you hear yourself when you say that? Like, the fact that you're not reaching out to me and, like, having those conversations, because there are people in my life who, grandparents and things like that, who reached out and they call me and I talk to them regularly. But there are people who are in your family who comment on your stuff and things like that, who you don't talk to. Like, I have a lot of people, especially family too, who comment on my stuff, but I don't talk to you. So, like, and my whole point too with the family thing is, yes, have love for your family, but understand family sometimes, for a lot of people too, I think people can relate to this, is sometimes it's not their everything, because that person in their life isn't as connected as they should be, or they want to be, or could be, a variety of different things that prevents them from being as connected as they should be. So I think it's good to touch upon the fact that there are friends who are more family than your actual family. And people say, blood's thicker than water. And I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of people in your life. And I think it's funny, too. I think part of the post that I just made today on my Instagram was supporting your friends. And it goes into family, too, when they make go for their dreams and chase their passions. It's funny when people who claim to be your friend don't support you when you go chase something that you're passionate about. Whether it's jealousy or what, I don't know what it is, the fact that you're chasing something that's bigger than you, people kind of back off and they don't support it right away. But say you post about a new job or something, a new car, people will be cheering you on and everything. It's like,
100%.
Where are you when I'm going to chase my dreams? Like, I want you to do the same thing. Go after what you're passionate about. But when I do it, there's no support. And it's funny, people who are strangers are more likely to support you because they're in the, I guess, the field of, like, the positivity and the stuff that I'm looking for. So I've just received more love and support, honestly, from a lot of people who I don't even know. Like, people reach out to me and, like, and people who I don't even talk to, who I consider friends, but I don't talk to them as much as, like, maybe should or do. And they're reaching out. People who I don't even talk to are like, I feel something with your podcast. I like what you're doing there. And that means more to me than anything that I've ever done, is people will be like, I relate to that. I get something from what you're saying. Like, and that's the whole point of why I want to do the podcast, because a lot of people can relate to each other, but they don't talk. And that's what we're talking about here, is people are afraid to communicate, and it's all about the connection. And that's exactly what you're talking about with your sister, and having those conversations after the fact. And sometimes it takes something unfortunate, like passing of a loved one, where you really get to reflect and be like, I see where you're coming from now. Like, I didn't understand. And accepting that you didn't understand, and sometimes some people are wrong in certain situations, understanding that and accepting that is huge. Like, people are embarrassed to be wrong. I'm not afraid to be fucking wrong. Like, yeah, I said in the beginning of my intro, like, a lot of stuff I might say on here could be wrong in future episodes. And I also want to point out, too, like, I'm not an expert on this field. I'm not licensed or anything like that. So whenever I say something, take it with a grain of salt. Like, that's just my opinion, my perspective of someone who's gone through a different variety of things. And I want to keep talking about that stuff because this shit matters. Like, people want to push aside the mental health and don't talk about it. And I think more now than ever, people are talking about it, but it's still not being talked about the way it should be. And it's kind of disrespectful.
Not. It definitely isn't. And I like that we're not all being super clinical here, where you're like, oh, I'm not licensed, because I think it's nice that we're just having a natural conversation. And maybe, you know, we're touching about so much. We're both human. And honestly, that's how I approach my practice. When people come in, I'm like, this is who I am. Yeah. I'm human. Just because I have, and I point to my degrees and the paper, you know, that cost me a lot of money, and the books and everything, I'm human. And because I'm here doesn't mean I've never been there. So I think it's important that, you know, we continue these conversations, and people need to know we're all human. Like, we all go through stuff. And if you tell me you don't, well, good for you, because
you're a fucking liar.
I want to know the secret to your life, because everyone in their lives goes through something. We all lose somebody.
Facts.
Everyone loses somebody, and that affects people on all different levels. So we all go through stuff.
I think, too, with that is, the classic saying that people always say is timing heals all wounds, which is actually the most false statement you could say to someone. Mm-hmm. I think it's honestly really insensitive to say to people is mm-hmm. time doesn't heal all wounds. It just gives you more opportunity to understand and mm-hmm. feel what happened. Like, you might never get over losing a loved one. You probably won't, and you shouldn't, because if that person really meant something to you, mm-hmm. you should mourn their loss and feel for them and love them and keep their memories strong and tight to you. And I think people are afraid to talk about people that have passed, and they don't want to bring up something that's insensitive to mm-hmm. people. And I think a lot of the time, people who lose loved ones, especially, you got to give time too. You got to give the mm-hmm. respectful time to certain people. But something like this, where your mother's been passed away for a few years now, and it's mm-hmm. you want to talk about it too. And yeah. people are afraid to ask questions, and that's where I'm trying to connect with more people who experience things like this, and or in different fields, or anything. I don't care about talking to people who are so super educated and like, this is what I do, I'm a famous person. Like, I'll talk to you, but like, you got to be a real person too. You can't mm-hmm. be hiding behind all the glitz and glamour of being a famous person. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to people who, one, I'm starting off people who I know, family, close people, but I'm broadening that to anyone who has problems or has dealt with things and they want to share their story. Like, don't be afraid to come to me and be like, hey, I want to share my story, because I want to share the story with people, because people get something from listening to other people talk. Mm-hmm. And that's why podcasts are so big right now, is a lot of people who do 9-to-5 jobs or do road trips, truckers, all these different types of people listen to podcasts, because people want information. People are always looking to get information. Mm-hmm. So if I could put out positive messages with some information on top of that and try to educate people through my guests like yourself, then I feel like I'm doing something positive, and I'm leaving a stamp on this world that's better than what it was before. And every episode's going to be different, and every episode's going to change, and the way things go and the flow. Like you hear through this podcast, like, we start off a little slow, and that happens. Like, you get a little nervous, but then you get into mm-hmm. the middle part, and people get afraid of talking. And that's something I tried to work on too, is public speaking and
yeah.
communicating someone with one-to-one basis. Because I've always been kind of shy and introverted. I'm definitely very introverted. I don't like putting myself out there a lot, but like, people are like, oh, you did the podcast, so how, that kind of contradicts yourself. I'm like, no, I'm still an introverted person. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like putting myself out there in big crowds and things like that, but I'm comfortable having conversations with people and putting myself out there because I'm confident in who I am. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm not hiding behind anything that, not by like my name or anything. Like, this is who I am. I make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Like, this is my life. And that's kind of the topics that I want to have in the podcast. And yeah. like what we're having right now is just dealing with the fact that you lost someone you cared about yeah. and the struggle of that, and to get to a position where you are, where you're a licensed mental health counselor and a registered dance therapist, like, mm-hmm. and you teach yoga too, and a variety of other things with that. And then that's so essential to what I'm talking about. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are going to listen to this podcast and be impressed with what we're talking about, and more, hopefully it gets people looking at the studio too, and mm-hmm. looking at this place. And if they don't know where to go, and I also like putting out like local people and mm-hmm. people who have local things, because some people don't know where to look for something like this. And I think that's huge. And it's tough with social media and putting stuff out there, because some people don't know how to navigate the social media world. It's always yeah. changing, and advertising and things like that. So something like this, where I have a different group of people who I'm friends with, who listen to me, who support me, and you have a different group of people who support you. Mm-hmm. So now we bring that together, and now we're pushing out a content that people actually gain something from. I think that's huge.
I think it's huge too. Do we have a little time left?
Yeah.
So I have two things that I want to go back to, and yep. one of them was, you know, about the healing and the wounds, and that goes back to, you know, gaining acceptance. So I've never completely healed with what's happened to my mom. And as you could see in the beginning, I was starting to get teary a little bit. And mm-hmm. there's times where I'll just start crying over it. I mean, it's a big part of my life, but I've come to an acceptance of it. And like, I like what you were saying of you, and that's where, you know, you learn from those things. And mm-hmm. so people, I would tell them my story, and it was someone recently who's known me for a while but never knew like anything about me as far as my yeah. mother and stuff. And she just looked at me and said, oh my God, I can't even believe, like, wow. I said, why? It's not a big deal. It's Like, for me, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. And it's made me who I am today. Good, bad, ugly, whatever. It's made me be successful. It makes you who you are. So I liked how you were going back to the wounds don't heal. It's that, you know, with time, it's the acceptance. You didn't say it in those exact words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's the same thing that, yes, those wounds are going to stay there.
Yeah,
but it's how you accept them and what you learn from them and how you can move forward.
It becomes like somewhat of a scar. Like, it's you're mm-hmm. always going to have the wound there. Mm-hmm. It may have healed, quote unquote, mm-hmm. but you always have the mark. And I think it's huge for people to acknowledge it. And I think, too, just like you said, like someone who knows you, but they don't understand all that stuff. And people who are going to listen to this podcast, people who might know you, people who don't know you, they're going to learn a ton about you. That it's going to be heavy impact stuff where people hear it and be like, wow, she can go through all that and still be positive and outgoing and have a successful career. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people get scared, like, if they go through something that it's going to prohibit them from being successful, which is absolutely false. Like, you go through what you grow through. Mm-hmm. And it's like, or you grow through what you go through. I don't know. I might have messed that up, but I might have said that right. But it's that idea of just, you have to go through shit to grow. Like, you can't just stay in your bubble and expect to grow. Like, if you're the same person you were last year, you're messing up. Like, you have to continually keep growing and being better. And that's what I want to promote to people, is to be better than what you were yesterday. I keep saying that, and I'm using my platform to try to push that out, is be your best self. And the way to do that is to continue educating yourself. And when I say educate, I don't mean go to school and get a degree. Because getting a degree does not mean you're educated. It does not. It's just, it's fact. If you want to disagree with me on that, it's fine. I don't care. But it does mean something, but in the sense of you have the discipline to go to a school for 4 years or whatever, how long it is, and get a piece of paper. But if you're not picking up that stuff and doing, educating yourself on the side, like, we have a tool that literally you can look up anything in the world in your hands. Anything.
You don't have to go to the library and look in encyclopedias like, like I did when I was in school.
Hey, you don't have to do that. Like, you could do anything with your phone. Like, you have a question, like, I don't know, what does that car do on this day? Some random question. I don't even know. You can get an answer for it. Mm-hmm. Or what year did this team win the World Series? Or literally anything. You could find
anything.
Literally anything. You could find the answer out there. So people choosing to not educate themselves is just ignorant. And I think that was the post that I shared the other day that we were talking about earlier, was
yes.
People having the opportunity to educate themselves but choosing not to is literally ignorant. Mm-hmm. And it's tough for me to see that side, because I've opened myself up to, okay, I can be wrong. Like, I'm not afraid to be wrong. I want to be educated. So if I'm wrong about something, educate me, please. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be ignorant to people. I want to come off as someone who is willing to change and willing to accept that they're wrong. And I think people are afraid of that. And they're afraid to put themselves and their opinions out there.
Mm-hmm.
These are my opinions, and, like, take them for what they are. They could be wrong. Like, I'm not saying they're one way or the other, but that's my opinion. And mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to stand by my opinions, but I'm not afraid to change them. And if I am presented with new information that is correct and it's accurate, and I'm okay with that. And I was watching, there's a huge documentary out right now. Documentary in the sense of, it's called The Game Changers. I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix.
I haven't.
About plant-based diet.
Okay.
And they were talking about it on Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't know if you've listened to Joe Rogan or know mm-hmm. about the podcast. He mm-hmm. had someone who came on who considered them like an acupuncturist and a nutritionist. And he came on and tried to debunk the whole Game Changers, a plant-based diet. And yesterday, it was like a four-hour episode. He brought on a guest, and they mm-hmm. just talked about, they brought two different perspectives from two different fields, and both of them acknowledged they're not experts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was huge for the whole point of the podcast, was we have two people who are not experts, and he came on and he debated and defended his film, and I think he defended it pretty accurately and pretty well. And I think it was great, because now you get to see two perspectives at one point, instead of you get one perspective of someone talking negatively about a film instead mm-hmm. of actually listening to the person who produced the film and did the research, and now you have two people debating. And I don't think there's one way or another. I'm not going to give my opinion on that, because that's not the point of this podcast. But I think it's huge for us to recognize that people are going to have different opinions than you, and it's okay to understand that. And to go with it and to mm-hmm. hear both sides. People only want to hear one side that supports their opinions instead of hearing the whole spectrum of things. And
absolutely.
I think that's kind of tough. But we are kind of wrapping up on time for you and myself. Okay. So is there anything... I've been trying to end the podcast in this way. So is there any advice that you could give someone that is looking to chase their passions but are afraid to?
Good one.
Yeah, I try to end a little podcast on this so people have some like content to live, kind of go with.
I think what we do is we get afraid of stuff. So when you're feeling fearful, push through it. What is it? Why you want that? What mm-hmm. is the prize at the end? And so to just keep pushing yourself through it, surround yourself with positivity, mindfulness, yoga, mm-hmm. find your roots, because oftentimes when we're going through that process we need to trust, we're not finding our roots. So mm-hmm. stay true to yourself. Keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah.
You got this.
That's the truth. That's literally the truth. There ain't. I think people get confused in the fact of they think there's so much to being positive.
Can I read this?
Yeah, of course.
So I'm going to end with this quote I have hanging in my office, and it just kind of sums up my life. Mm-hmm. Eventually, all pieces fall into place. Until then, laugh at the confusion, live for the moment, and know that everything happens for a reason.
There it is, folks. That's huge right there. And the key, I live by that too, everything happens for a reason. Like, whether you want to accept it or you know what it is, everything happens for a reason. And we either learn from it or we're ignorant to that. Mm-hmm. And I hope people can get something from this podcast. I want to thank you for allowing me to come to your studio and interview and put you on something like this. I think it's going to be a really great podcast. I think people are going to really enjoy this mm-hmm. one. And I just want to give a shout out to everyone that continues to listen, to show me love. Share the podcast with your family, your friends. Please, if you enjoyed it, like, rate, review the podcast. I do look at those. I appreciate that. Comment on my post. Feel free to reach out to me. If you have a story that you want to share with people or a business you want to promote or something that goes along with the concepts of positivity, motivation, and mental health, please reach out to me. My email's out there. You can message me through direct messages on Facebook, my personal pages, all that. You have all that information that's out there. So I want to end on that and just say, once again, thank you for listening, everybody. Bye.